Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I, Jesus, will say to them, I, Jesus, never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They were deceiving the people.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has studied the Bible for more than 45 years. His goal is to help equip you with its truth so that you can stand against false religious and deceptive doctrines as a strong witness for Christ. For Raul's full story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, we are glad you've joined us for the very first lesson in our new series celebrating the person and work of Jesus Christ. Raul will begin with assurance that you can fully trust all that the Bible reveals about Jesus, even the ancient prophecies of his extraordinary birth. In the message today, we'll see that while false prophets have spread confusion throughout all of history, God has preserved the truth about Jesus in the pages of his Word. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, The Virgin Birth of Christ. Join us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14.
Here we have the prophet Isaiah giving to us for the first time a prophecy that I think is really important for us because we are dealing with the doctrines of Christ. And one of the doctrines of Christ is his virgin birth, how he came into the world. Here in verse 14 he says, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and to choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. So here is Isaiah the prophet, not only a major contributor to the warnings of God, as God was getting ready to judge the people of God, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Israel. In 722 BC, God really came down on the northern kingdom of Israel and judged them tremendously. And what's really amazing is that here is God now preparing Babylon to come along and make three sieges against the city of Jerusalem. But he begins with the prophet Isaiah, then he goes over to the prophet Jeremiah, and from the prophet Jeremiah over to Ezekiel, and then Ezekiel takes us into the book of Daniel, where Daniel is found in captivity once God does judge the people of God. And then at the same time as I was studying for doctrine, I came across the virgin birth of Christ, and all of a sudden this great doctrine that needs to be studied by the church is because there is a lot of false teachings going on in the world today. So the first thing that I came across as I was going through the doctrine is that I want to give to you this morning some of the things about false teachers, what they do. The number one thing that I saw about false teachers is that they're always prophesying falsely. They're always saying, Thus saith the Lord, when God has not spoken. When God does speak, you will know because God will bring it to pass. And it's always according to his word. Just like the prophet Isaiah here, chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. So it's really important for me to understand what the prophet Jeremiah said. In chapter 23, 17, Jeremiah the prophet said this. He says, these false prophets, first of all, bring a false peace. He says, they continually say, to those who despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Hey, you're saved. Don't worry about it. We need to be careful. Especially those that are giving a false sense of security and false peace today. Secondly, they're always liars. They're always lying. In Jeremiah 28:15, the prophet says, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, the prophet, 'Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people to trust in a lie.'" Now, what I found interesting in the prophet Jeremiah's prophecies and then reading the New Testament with Paul is that Paul and Jeremiah were never, ever afraid to speak out and give people's names that were false prophets. I like that. Marking them. Jeremiah the prophet in 28:15 says, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, 'Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people to trust in a lie.'" God didn't send you. Thirdly, they pretend to be true. Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? I love the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what does he do? He has the multitudes that he's speaking to, and then when he wants to get serious with his own disciples and he wants to teach them, because they're going to be teaching in the future to come, he separates them. And he begins to give them the principles of the kingdom. And by the time he goes through chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and you are salt to the earth and you are a light on a hill. And he talks to them about prayer and fasting, the attitude that a person should really have in knowing God. And as he begins to close the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to speak about these false prophets and teachers that would come. And by the time he gets to chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, man, he nails them heavily. Right before he closes the book, he said this, "Many," not few, "many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Listen to what Jesus said to them. "And then I, Jesus, will say to them, 'I, Jesus, never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" They were deceiving the people. They're not going to be in heaven. It's really important for pastors and teachers to stand up to the truth. We stand for righteousness, for who God is. And then here is good old Peter. Peter's a fisherman. God calls him to be the first actual disciple of Christ as he's coming with Andrew, second one. And then he gets to be chosen to be in the book of Acts at the beginning of Pentecost and to stand up and give a declaration as the leader of the church. And do what? And give an exegesis on what just happened and say this was actually spoken of in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, and this is what God said it would happen so that people would not be confused. What the Old Testament said and what would happen in the New. When Peter wrote his epistle, 2 Peter, chapter 2, the whole chapter 2 of Peter, 2 Peter, it's dedicated to false teachers and false prophets. Check this out, what he says, beginning in verse 10. He says, "Especially to those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of evil of government. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." They're not afraid to speak against those that are really, truly anointed of God. They want to shut them up, the evil prophets. He says, "But these, like natural brute beast animals, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who counted pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions." Notice, "while they feast with you," they were sitting at the communion table. Imagine that in the church among you. And as they're sitting there, check their description. They have eyes full of adultery and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. Not everybody's a Christian. He goes on to say this, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They loved the good almighty dollar. They get sold out. But he was rebuked for his sin. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. And these are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom they reserve in blackness and darkness forever. For when they speak, great swelling words are emptiness. They don't stick. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness. The one who has actually escaped from those who live in error. Well, they promise them liberty, for they themselves are slaves of corruption, for whom by a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. Whoa. Those are heavy words. For anybody to come to church and get saved and say they are Christians and to act evil and work with evil people is a hot place for you. He says it very, very openly. And yet these men were around. And they continue to exist even until Jesus comes again. Even in the New Testament, when Paul the Apostle was speaking, warning people in 2 Timothy 1:14 and 15, he says they were active even in his own time. He said, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. This you know, that all those in Asia Minor have turned away from me, among whom is Phygelus and Harmonius. He calls them by name. Two men that were with Paul, and they became what? They went into apostasy. He calls them by name to identify them. And then how about in an active age like ours today, as we see it? In 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 and 3, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Leaving God's word, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and then going and let Satan speak to them. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, which means they're gone. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth of God. So these are really the days that we're living in. These are actually going on today as we look out to the world. And they're going to be activated in the last days. Jesus in Matthew 24:11 said, then many false prophets will arise and will deceive many, many, many people. In the early church, you had the Ebionites, which were deceivers back in the past. They denied the reality of Jesus' divine nature. Like in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you had the second one, which were the actual Gnostics, and they were an interesting bunch of people. They believe in the reality of Jesus' human nature, but they refuted, like the Jehovah Witnesses, that Jesus was only a spirit, that when he walked, he was like a phantom. He only left footprints. 1 John 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. When Christ came, 100% man, 100% God. They could see him. They could touch him. The church. When he died and rose again, remember at the garden, what happened? Mary was holding on to him and Jesus said, hey, let me go. I got to go. But in a new glorified body. And then how about the Arians, not the white supremacists. Those that were like the Jehovah Witnesses. That's where they got their doctrine. The doctrine of Arians. He taught that Jesus was not the same substance as God, but a creative being exalted above all other creatures. And yet they believe, like the Jehovah Witnesses, that here Jesus is not triune. There's no Trinity. The Mormons, they believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Imagine that. They believe they're brothers. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, 6, what does it say? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Notice that. And then how about the Nestorians? They believe two persons actually indwelt the body of Christ, the human person and the divine only. And then what about the actual beautiful things that Jesus Christ has done even through Scripture? The personality and the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The prophecies of His incarnation. Are they written? Yes, they are. In the book of Isaiah chapter 7, 14, it says, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What is that? 750 years before Mary ever got touched by Joseph and before they ever got married, Jesus was born first out of the virgin. Who was the Father? The Holy Spirit. Here it is written, 750 years before. And shall call his name Emmanuel. He says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then again, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called again, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus himself. Verse 7 says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, will perform this. Jesus. And then how about the Bible telling you exactly where Jesus Christ would be born? The city of Bethlehem. 550 years before he was ever born. In Micah 5:2 he says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, capital M, me, God, the one Jesus to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old and from everlasting. Giving us the prophecy of Jesus Christ, where he would be born, the time and place. And then in Luke 1:17, he says, he will also go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and the wisdom and of just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Chapter 1:76 of Luke, and you, child, he says, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He's actually speaking of John the Baptist, his cousin, where Elizabeth and Mary came together. They were going to have children. Elizabeth, already 6 months pregnant. Then Mary gets pregnant, and John's going to actually lead the way, prepare the way for Jesus. And then Jesus comes along and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. God preparing the way all the way through the scriptures. And how about Mary? Like in Luke 1:31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And then verse 35, it says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Remember Peter, when they were up in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet, some say John the Baptist, but who do you say? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And then Elizabeth, in Luke 1:42, she says, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. When Mary came to see Elizabeth, they were cousins, they were pregnant, the little baby in her womb leaped up and praising Jesus. And then how about Joseph, the father, stepfather of Jesus afterwards, when he found out she was pregnant? That while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Hey, don't worry about it. She won't be stoned. You had nothing to do with it. He was concerned. Because in that culture, I told you last week, what do? They stone women and they stone men before they were married if they got pregnant or had any sex. They didn't put up with it. In verse 21, he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice how beautiful that is. He will save his people from their sins. And then how about those little shepherds? In chapter 2 of Luke 10, and then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is called the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped up in swaddling cloth, lying on a manger where they took care of the animals. Not the Hilton, a cave where Jesus Christ was born.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you a complete copy on CD for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for today's message titled, The Virgin Birth of Christ. Well, since we can't physically see Jesus, it does take a measure of faith to believe in him. To help you ground your faith in what the Bible teaches about Christ, we'd like to tell you about an illuminating resource from Raul titled, Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. This 4-CD pack provides a biblical view of the man who boldly announced himself to be the one and only Son of God. Featuring today's lesson as well as 3 additional messages, this audio collection will show you how Christ was both fully God and fully man when he voluntarily laid down his own sinless life to take away the sins of the world. Get in touch with us to purchase Raul's CD series titled Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work. To order, visit us at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of $19 or more. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Now, before we close today, we'd like to tell you about an amazing opportunity that you have to join Raul and Sharon on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land coming up next spring. Immerse yourself in the life of your Savior as you summit the Mount of Beatitudes, explore the streets of Jerusalem, worship in the Garden of Gethsemane, and much more. Mark your calendar for this 11-day trip that will forever change the way you read the Bible. The dates for the tour are April 25th through May 5th, 2020. For itinerary and registration information, visit somebodylovesyou.com and click on the Israel Tour 2020 link. By the way, thanks for your support of this gospel ministry. Because of your generosity, more and more people can hear about the life-saving message of Christ through Raul's teaching. Tomorrow on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from this new series. You'll see that when it comes to your response to Jesus, there truly is no middle ground. He requires your whole heart and your absolute faith in who he is. Here's Raul now once again to wrap up today's lesson.
And then how about Simeon, the oldest person in the New Testament? In Luke 2:25, check this out. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would ever see the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took Jesus up into his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Lord, now I can die peacefully. It's been fulfilled. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel, Jesus Christ.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.